Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's Palm Sunday meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak, a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. The Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our humble yet exalted King, dear fellow redeemed, how many rulers really care about their people they serve? It appears the Syrian leader Bashar al-Assad has very little care for his own citizens, for he has dropped bombs on them. This past week we've heard even dropped some chemical weapons on them, killing innocent men, women, children, and even little babies. I Googled it and found out that over the years of this Syrian civil war, it's estimated that he alone, with his soldiers and his air force, has killed over 400,000 Syrians, 400,000 of his own people. And countless millions have fled Syria for neighboring countries. His one goal, it seems, is self-preservation, to remain in power at all costs. But that's not unusual. That's not really unique. Over the thousands of years of history, we have seen many pharaohs, czars, dictators, kings, premiers, and presidents who have cared very little for the people they serve, but instead were more concerned about themselves and their own power. That's what makes Jesus such an amazing king. He is the most unique king the world has ever seen. He came for one purpose in this world, not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a sacrifice into death for his own people. He doesn't rule with laws and implements of war, weapons and threats. He rules with words of love, words of forgiveness. He doesn't sacrifice his own people. He sacrificed himself. He gave his own life for the souls of his people. And that's why what we heard this morning about Pentecost or Palm Sunday several thousand years ago is so refreshing. Jesus rode into Jerusalem as a conquering hero, the king of the Jews, and looked nothing like it. Rode on a donkey, not a white stallion. Rode with no big army, no big following, just a ragtag group of disciples. Who is this king? Just the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the ruler of heaven and earth, the one who rules in the hearts and lives of his people. Well, we've gone back to the Old Testament, and there in Isaiah chapter 50, our text, we see that our text answers for us the question, who is this king? And the first answer is a faithful preacher. We read in the first two verses of our text. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens me, my ear, to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. First thing we ask is, who's speaking? Well, Isaiah said earlier, this is the servant of the Lord. And the servant of the Lord is none other than the Messiah, the Christ. And so the Christ is here speaking. And he is saying that he has a tongue of a well-learned person, skilled in public speaking, teaching, and preaching. In Isaiah 61, we're told that the servant was anointed to preach good tidings to the poor. And as you go through the New Testament, you see that the people who heard Jesus speak clearly realized this man spoke well. I'm going to read three examples from three different Gospels. Matthew 7. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Luke 4. So all bore witness to him, and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. John 7. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Indeed, the Father had given to his Son the tongue of the learned, so that he could know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. In a quick review of Jesus' ministry, we see very quickly that Jesus always had the fitting word for the right occasion, just the right time. His words were hard and they were difficult to those filled with pride, to those who were self-righteous, to those who were in unbelief. But his words were kind and refreshing to those who were spiritually destitute and spiritually wearied. Some examples. His words to Nicodemus about being born again. His words to the Samaritan woman at the well about being the water of life. His words to the woman who was caught in adultery about forgiveness of sins. His words to the Pharisees about hypocrisy. His words to Pontius Pilate about truth and his kingdom. In John 6, Jesus tells us that his words are life-giving. He said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. His powerful words always gave help in great times of need. Just think of that time when he met that poor widow walking out to the cemetery in the city of Nain. And his words were to her, do not weep. Yeah. For they were powerful words because he could tell her why she did not weep. He turned to the coffin. He said to that young man, I say to you, young man, arise. And he was dead, sat up and began to speak. His words released people from the prison of sin. When he spoke to the paralyzed man, he said, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. His words also help in times of mourning. When he spoke to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. His words bound up the broken hearts of his disciples on that Maundy Thursday evening when he said, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And there are countless more examples of the perfect word at the perfect time for the perfect need. Jesus preached to win souls for his kingdom. His words gathered thousands to listen to him around sitting at his feet. And they came and they learned that his words were not his own words. They're the words from his heavenly Father. And he gives to us the very same invitation. He says, come. Come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Jesus always had the fitting word for the right occasion, especially for the wearied soul. He still does that in his word, the Bible. May we consistently turn to his word in our times of need. When our soul is wearied, turn to his word in our own Bible readings at home, in our family devotions, and here in our worship services. This king is a faithful preacher. Our text also says, he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Jesus only spoke what his Father told him to speak. He lived in perfect communion and harmony with his heavenly Father. He drew strength from his Father as he had to take on all the daunting challenges of his ministry. Remember how often he spent time in prayer, in meditation, sometimes all night long with his heavenly Father? He did all of this for us because his life's one goal, his life's one purpose was to do his heavenly Father's will by keeping the commandments perfectly for us. By allowing the Father to lay all of our sins upon his soul so that he would suffer and die and endure damnation for each of us. In verse 5 we read, the Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. Jesus' heart and mind were spiritually receptive to his Father, even when he was in great sorrow, sorrow even to the point of death in Gethsemane. He refused to rebel. He refused to run away. And he said, not my will, but yours be done. He willingly took up the cross. He willingly took up the suffering and sorrow and drank that cup of suffering to the very last drop in death and damnation. Now, leads us to our second point. Who is this king? He is a patient sufferer. We read in verses 6 and 7. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, silent, knowing that his silence would lead to an assured death sentence. He didn't defend himself. He allowed them to hit him, mock him, ridicule him, spit on him. This they did to criminals. Jesus was no criminal, and yet he submitted to it. Why? Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus offered and did not hide his back, his face, his cheeks to his tormentors. He willingly volunteered to suffer and die. He did this fully knowing that his Father would be there to see him through it all and strengthen him so that he would not suffer the ultimate disgrace. So even though he was put to shame and disgraced, in the end, he now has been exalted. Remember how they tried to disgrace Jesus on the cross? They said things like, he trusted in God. Let God deliver him then if he wants him. For he said, I'm the Son of God. If you are the Christ, save yourself. You saved others. You can't save yourself. Those words went to cut into Jesus' heart and disgrace him in front of the people. Shame him. And yet the Lord put his confidence in his Father that shame and disgrace would come to an end and he would be exalted. And he was. He rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. And so we're told, as we read in Philippians, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. Based on his unshakable confidence in the Father, Jesus set his face toward the cross like flint. Flint is one of the strongest, hardest known substances. He was determined to go ahead and do what his Father had commanded him to do. In Luke 9, we're told, now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, not only to heaven, but on the cross, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And every day we thank God that Jesus was so determined to accomplish what his Father had commanded him to do for us. And that leads to our third point this morning. Who is this king? He's a confident conqueror. We read in verses 8 and 9. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. The servant of the Lord stands before all of his enemies, and he says, we're standing now before the justice seat of God. Who's going to contend with me? Who's going to charge me with a crime? Who's going to say that I've sinned? Who's my enemy? Who's my adversary? No one. Who's going to condemn me? They tried. Over and over, throughout the trials, they threw all kinds of charges against Christ. Nothing stuck. They were all groundless. Even the false witnesses couldn't agree. When Pontius Pilate and Herod interviewed Jesus, they came to the same conclusion. No fault. How many times did Pilate say, I find no fault in him. He's innocent. Over and over and over again. And yet on the cross, God the Father condemned and damned his own Son. Not because of his sins, but because of ours. And that's why he could be our substitute. Because through it all, Jesus remained righteous and perfect and holy and innocent. And his resurrection proved that God the Father accepted Christ's sacrifice as a sacrifice for all of us. The righteous, perfect, innocent one sacrificed for all of us unrighteous, guilty, sinful ones. And all of Jesus' enemies, they've all died. As it says in our text, they grow old like a garment, and the moth of death, has eaten them up. But Jesus still lives, and he reigns throughout eternity. In the face of suffering and death, Jesus turned to his Father for comfort and for strength to endure all of this. And isn't that a blessed example for us to follow when we go through trials and temptations and tribulation and suffering and sorrow? We read in 1 Peter 2, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, to his Father, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." So who is this amazing, unique king of ours? First of all, he is indeed a faithful preacher, always having the fitting words for the right occasion, especially for the spiritually weary, and his words are powerful. They're life and their salvation. He also is the patient sufferer who willingly went to the cross, willingly suffered and died, willingly allowed himself to be damned for each of us. And he is the confident conqueror. All of the accusations were groundless, and yet he remained faithful, true, holy, righteous, through all of it, relying upon his Father and trusting in him. And he has conquered all of our enemies. So this morning, let us continue to join in praise and honor to this most unique king, and do so the rest of this week as we follow him from the praise and honor of Palm Sunday to the solemnities of Maundy Thursday to the suffering, sorrow, and death of Good Friday, and to a week from this morning, the victorious joy of the resurrection on Easter Sunday. Amen. The peace of God, which passes understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.